God is really going to clean up this mess? Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, Practical Principles for Daily Living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open into the book of Joel, I think maybe I'll be able to finish Joel this week. We will see. At any rate, we're simply going through the book now, and I'm showing you some of my favorite passages there. If you have your Bible, let me show you the most quoted passage in the entire book of Joel. It's Joel 2:28 through 29. And the prophecy continues through 30 through 32. So we're going to talk a little bit about both of those passages. But the first one, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now you need to know that this is the passage that's quoted in the reference in Acts to the Pentecostal experience at the beginning of the church, or at least the New Testament version of the church. I have a friend who told me the other day about a four-year-old boy who was asking his parents how God caused the rain, and they were getting ready to answer, and he said, "Never mind, I know. He gets the Holy Spirit to do it. The Holy Spirit does all the work." Well, that's what it's talking about in this prophecy. Now, notice, let's divide it up just a little bit. Joel says three things about the Holy Spirit, and all three break down barriers. And remember when we were first talking about Joel, I said it was pretty exclusive because truth is exclusive. But he breaks out, and they poured out on all flesh. What does that mean? That means on everybody, that God is concerned for the entire world. One of the reasons that Christians are pro-life is because we know that God is pro-life. All life, whether it's Buddhist or Islamic or Christian or Jewish, all life. So he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And you need to know that that's true, that there is truth that is understood in terms of natural revelation by people who have never met Christ, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions. Now, that's breaking some gender barriers, and it's breaking some age barriers. I can remember when I was much younger when I said, "Don't trust anybody over 30. Now I'm at the point where I don't think you ought to trust anybody under 60. But notice the way that the pouring out of God's Spirit is a reconciling spirit that brings young men and young women together. It breaks down the gender barriers. It breaks down the barriers between old and young. It is a spirit that breaks out of the exclusive, narrow confines that many of us build upon maid servants and men servants. Now, that's breaking down economic barriers between rich and poor. It says something very important about the Holy Spirit. Now, look at the second part of that prophecy. I want to share that with you, too. We'll start at the 30th verse of that second chapter of Joel. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, that the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the God of the universe calls." Now you need to know that even though these verses are together, they refer to two events. One of those events has already happened. God has poured out his Spirit on the world. Something radically changed when Jesus was resurrected and went to heaven. "And I will send my Spirit in a special and different way." At Pentecost, we began to see that happening as barriers are broken down. And one of the main reasons for our existence in the world as believers is to break down barriers. Have you noticed that wherever there's a Christian, there's a fight? Have you noticed that when Christians, when three Christians get together, there will be four churches? Did you hear about the man on the island? He's been there for about 20 years, and finally a big ship picked him up, and he was explaining about the island, and they said, there's three buildings there. He said, what are those three buildings? He said, well, that's my house. That's where I lived for 20 years. And we said, well, what's the second building? He said, well, that's a church. That's a church I built. And then the captain said, well, what's that third building? He said, well, that's the other church I built after I got angry and left the first church. You know, that is the reason we laugh is because you know it's true. Man, you know that Christians know how to fight. We look down our noses and we condemn and we build barriers. Now, if the Holy Spirit's involved, just the opposite happens. Poured out on all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men see dreams. Maid servants, men servants, economic barriers, sexual barriers, political barriers, age barriers. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why Christians are reconciling agents in the world. When people seem to think that we're a bunch of fanatic weirdos bringing division and anger and hatred in the world, that's not true. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, we ought to be reconciling agents. That's what Paul said that he was, a reconciler, an ambassador of God. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit was involved. And then you hit that 30th verse and you say, whoa, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Well, you need to know that this passage, much like the Olivet Discourse in Matthew, is a division between two prophecies. Now, you remember the disciples went to Jesus, and they said, when are all these things going to happen? And he talked about 70 A.D., and then he looked forward to the final culmination of history. And you need to know that that's going on right here in Joel 2. God is saying, this is what's going to happen in the meantime. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. But that's not the end. That's not the final culmination. Then I'm going to show you something really important. And verses 30 through 32 talk about that. I have a friend who was telling me about a basketball game between Gordon College and King College. And during the game, Gordon was behind. And one of the Gordon players made a really dumb move. He thought to himself, and I suppose a number of people said, you jerk. Later, Gordon won the game, and still later, they were watching a videotape of the game. When the young man saw this really dumb mistake he made on tape, you know what he did? He laughed. You know why he laughed? He laughed because he knew the outcome. It's the same with us. Do you sometimes blow it? I do too. But God is faithful, and we know how it's going to work out. You think about that. Well, I forgot I was supposed to answer some questions today and was just going on and on, but I do have time for a couple. We love to get your questions, but you got to write them down, send them to us. The only dumb questions, the questions you don't ask. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. That's to make orders, to make a contribution, to get Key Life tapes free or the magazine free or whatever. But you got to write your question down. Hey, listen, a reminder, Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. That means we're cool. You can trust us. We're also, and this is fairly recent, Key Life of Canada is now a member of CCCC, the Canadian Council, Christian Churches. And that means that we're honest and stuff. So you might want to keep that in mind. Well, let's turn to some of these questions. This is from Delaware. In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight thyself in the Lord. How can we do that? What does that mean? I'm working on a book that started out with the original title, The 10 Stupid Things Christians Do to Mess Up Their Lives. But that's gone through a whole process. It's not going to be called that. It's going to be called, I Think How Christians Can Be Free. And but you need to know that one of those chapters has to do with the gods that we worship. We worship a lot of gods that are not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is filled with loving kindness. The God of the Bible is gracious and merciful and kind and patient. The God of the Bible, if you belong to Him, will never be angry with you, will never love you with any reservations. He will be totally unconditional. How do you delight yourself in that? You meditate on what I just told you. You think about all that God has done. Go through His attributes, and at that point, there's a strange sort of joy and delight that begins to take place in your prayer life. In other words, just let Him love you. This next question is from Ohio. How can I become a freer Christian? Offend people. And then go to God and see if that was all right. No, well, we teach assertiveness training to Christians in our Born Free seminar. And one of the things that I say is now go out and offend somebody. Especially those who are really uptight. In fact, one of the principles of Born Free is that you ought to live your life with such abandon that uptight Christians will doubt your salvation. Let me tell you something. Find out what the Bible says is wrong and what the Bible says is right. Abide by that, and you're free every other place. You get free by looking at the truth and meditating on the truth. If the Son shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed, Jesus said. This is from Tennessee. Do miracles still exist in our world today? Yes, they do. The fact that I'm sitting here talking to you is a miracle of God's grace. And I believe that God still heals, that He still listens to our prayers, that He still acts on behalf of His people, that He still does really neat and supernatural stuff. But He's the one who decides. The reason this question is asked is that there are some Christians who believe that all of the sign miracles have come to an end as we move into the church age. I like them. They're really nice people. They might play a great game of golf, but they're wrong. God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. Hey, listen, I've got to get out of here. I'm out of time. Whenever your writer calls, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. A lot of very wonderful folks make this broadcast possible. Now, I really do have to go with one comment. Key Light is a listener-supported production of Key Light Network.